It's Ian Pickus, and we're back in the Congressional Corner today with New York Democrat Pat Ryan from the 18th House District. In office since 2022, he's actually had two elections so far, and now he's in a third. Pat Ryan, how are you feeling about November right now?
I feel good. I mean, I'm mostly focused on doing a good job now.
That's what they all say.
Well, I mean, look, if you do a good job, people notice it, and then elections tend to sort themselves out in my albeit limited experience. So, I mean, we've been really focused at the ground level. Obviously, Congress at the national level is pretty polarized, to put it mildly, right now, as the Marjorie Taylor Greens of the world seem to have the microphone and control the situation. But at the local level, I mean, we've delivered over $25 million in back taxes and veterans benefits and other constituent services funds. I've secured tens of millions of dollars of, you know, infrastructure dollars and money for YMCA in Newburgh and other important local projects. So we are delivering and helping people as much as we can. And I think that matters to a lot of people.
Since you raised it, Marjorie Taylor Greene has had a bullseye on Speaker Johnson's back. And Democrats actually helped at one point to save Speaker Johnson from being ousted, much like his predecessor, Speaker McCarthy. What do you think about Speaker Johnson's status nowadays?
Well, I was actually one of the small number of Democrats who didn't
vote to
keep the speaker in place for a bunch of reasons. And I think at a high level, his behavior around January 6th, where he was the legal architect of the election denial efforts, was traitorous. And that's a strong word, but I think it was. He also authored a national abortion ban bill, a bill to block IVF access. He's been incredibly anti-LGBTQ. There's a lot of reasons that I think he doesn't deserve to be third in line, essentially, well, really second in line, to the presidency, which given all those reasons. So I think we need a new speaker. I think we need Hakeem Jeffries to be our speaker, and I think he will be come 2025.
What were your conversations like about that vote? Because the Democrats obviously kind of decided together that they would give Johnson this bailout. And since then, people who have talked on this show have really described it as kind of a one-time get-out-of-jail-free card and not to count on it again. But did you talk to Jeffries about your decision to vote against saving Johnson at that point?
I've taken a very shall we say, independent view of how I should do this job. And while I respect Leader Jeffries and a lot of my colleagues in both parties, I really try to vote what I think is right for the district, right for the Constitution, right for the country. And on this one, I kind of just went with what I feel is the thing I could explain to my kids and my constituents. And I mean, look, a few days after that vote, if you recall, Ian, Speaker Johnson, the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, went to New York and stood in front of this sort of courthouse microphone defending the actions of a now convicted felon in Donald Trump. I mean, that's conduct to me that is beneath the dignity of that office.
What about the idea? I think, you know, this got some traction with your colleagues that, you know, Speaker Johnson ultimately came around on the foreign aid bill, and having Johnson in place, although you probably disagree with him on 95% of things, is better than having more chaos inspired by the Freedom Caucus from what we saw that paralyzed things for a long time when McCarthy was about to be ousted.
I'm certainly not a fan of chaos, and under McCarthy and now Johnson, it has still been chaos. Like, just this last week, and I don't think people even fully know this, they rammed through a partisan bill to cut veterans funding by $6 billion next year. And they added a whole bunch of policy riders, for example, that were very culture war policy riders, to block women serving from having access to reproductive health care services, not just abortion access, but contraception and other critical reproductive care. I mean, the House Republicans are like so far right that I don't even know how to describe it. And so regardless of who's in charge, it's already been chaos. So I think in some cases, the best thing is to try to block these very dangerous things that they're trying to pass through. For example, like I said, cutting veterans, that's just something I will never vote to do, nor should anyone, in my opinion.
Well, you have a well-earned opinion on that one. I mean, might affect you?
Me and 40,000 veterans in my district who already struggle to access care. And, you know, there was an even attempt, you know, as you know, going back a few years to close our main VA center at Castle Point. So we've seen the efforts on veterans care, on Social Security, on Medicare by the far right, including Trump and including my opponent, by the way, to support cuts to critical care and safety net programs that, you know, retirees have worked their lives to earn those benefits. Veterans have risked their lives to earn those benefits. Like, this is pretty dangerous stuff, and I think we're not talking about that enough.
Okay, let's go back to Central Hudson now, which I said we'd talk about in this segment. You are on record as opposing the proposed rate hikes that Central Hudson wants to put through. So where do things go from here?
Well, we've got to stop these rate hikes. I mean, there's still an open investigation going back to the fiasco of the last several years around billing issues, where the Public Service Commission is months late. It was supposed to be due in February. We're now deep into June. But regardless of the timing, we know that the results are going to show that there's a catastrophic and systemic failure by Central Hudson. They still haven't fully resolved it, allowing them to raise rates, especially in that context. And they proposed 16 and 19% respectively for gas and electric. Unacceptable, especially given the pressure that folks are feeling in their economic situation and their all the costs that have already added up.
Are they doing a better job rectifying that from where things were, you know, a year ago?
Well, 2 years ago is a total disaster. A year ago, it was improving. It continues to slowly improve, but we're still dealing with many constituents who are not at all feeling any resolution or satisfaction in their situation. And so there still is a lot of work to do in that regard. And I'm trying and our team is working to try to be constructive partners, as are other elected officials. But the fact that we're having to weigh in here to help folks who, you know, in some cases had their entire savings accounts wiped out back in, you know, 2021, especially from auto pay, and are still fighting to get the correct dollars back, that is not the time to be raising rates.
What do you think about the proposal to establish a new power authority to replace Central Hudson? And I should say this idea has the backing from your successor, the Ulster County Executive, Jen Metzger.
Yeah, I have not had a chance to sort of dive into the details of that. Certainly what we've got in Central Hudson is not working, but I think we got to really look at how to hold them accountable. And I would really want to understand, I think there's some significant concerns and risks about sort of a public takeover, which is really what this is, of a utility. That's a fairly rare thing, and I'm not sure that I'm at that point yet, but I got to look at the proposal.
Okay. Just before we run out of time today, wondering if you plan to attend Benjamin Netanyahu's next congressional address, which is scheduled for July.
Likely. I've gone to, I think, every single head of state that's come as I've been here the last year and a half. I think it's important, especially given my role in the Armed Services Committee, to listen to visiting leaders, whether I agree with everything they say or not, which is rare, regardless of the country. I think it's important. So I'm planning to go at this point.
New York Congressman Pat Ryan is a Democrat from the 18th District, in office since 2022. Congressman Ryan, thanks so much for being here. And when we come back the next time, I've got a lot more for you.
Thanks, Ian.